141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic fans group call for meaningful change at the top after a boycott at Saturday's friendly against Middlesbrough. Rangers find out their Europa League qualifying opponents and Motherwell are set to get a record club fee for Elijah Just. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Roger Hanna.
Well, the World Cup is over. Congratulations to Spain for winning that. And suddenly, Andrew, we've got a Champions League qualifier for Hearts tomorrow. We've got League Cup ties all midweek. We've got Hibs and Motherwell in Europe on Thursday. And glamour friendlies for Rangers and Celtic, even though not many folks seem to want to go and watch the Celtic glamour friendlies.
Yeah, we are being thrown right back into it in Scottish football, aren't we? And there are stories galore. There have been maybe a bit of controversy when it comes to Celtic, that boycott, as you mentioned, at the weekend. There have been statements from different fan groups about the lack of transfer activity after missing out on Kelechi Iheanacho, after Marcelo Cerracci released a statement saying that he wanted to come back and that Celtic didn't manage to get that over the line. Rangers finding out their European opponents. So Dennett McInnes now really starting to build up to the start of his reign as Rangers manager competitively, and Motherwell getting a fee for Elijah Just, or looking as if they're going to get a fee for Elijah Just that is big, big money.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they did well last summer getting all that money in for Lennon Miller, but this summer already Callum Ward's gone for a decent bit of money. Elliot Watt went for over £1 million to Samson Sport, and now a deal that's going to be worth about £5 million for Elijah Just. Not bad for a lad they picked up for $35,000 a year ago.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. It was a really busy night on the phones on Friday. That was after the news that Kelechi Iheanacho wasn't going to Celtic. Instead, he was going to Bursaspor the next day. Then Marcelo Cerracci revealed that he wouldn't be returning to Celtic and that he wanted to, but the deal never managed to get done. There was that boycott at the game between Celtic and Motherwell at the weekend. A really low crowd for that one. Celtic fans voting with their feet. So how are you feeling, Celtic fans, just generally about the club? How are you feeling about the transfer window, and what is that meaningful change that some of the fan statements have alluded to? Rangers fans, you found out your European qualifying opponents, Jagiellonia, the Polish side, so starting to feel a bit more real now that you're back in competitive action soon. How are you feeling about the business you've done? What about Vanya Dragijevic, who looks to be the next one in the door? And I'd like to hear from you Motherwell fans. I'm sure you're going to be gutted at the fact that Elijah Just looks to be on his way out the door. However, it is a big fee that you're going to get for him. So will the club be able to rebuild? Will they be able to get the right players in the door? Because with a few leaving, probably needs to be a bit of business in the way. So 0141 951 1025. Roger Hanna taking your calls all the way through until 7 o'clock, so make sure to get them in right now. On Saturday, when I saw the pictures coming in from Celtic Park, I was quite astonished at just how empty Celtic Park was. I know there had been a bit of talk about there being a boycott, and sometimes when there is talk of a boycott, it maybe doesn't come to fruition as much as you'd think it would, but it was quite obvious from the footage. I think there was a video from the press box panning around the stadium of just how empty it was.
Listen, it was quite remarkable. You used the word boycott. I'm not sure how much organisation went into it at all, or whether it was just Celtic supporters saying, no, I'm not having this. Martin O'Neill, after the game, sort of blamed the cost of living, the ticket prices, the fact that there's another friendly on Saturday with AC Milan, you're buying season tickets, you're buying the new Adidas kit and all the leisure wear and everything that goes with it. It's an expensive business following football clubs and an expensive business following Celtic. I tend to think it was more to do with a lack of activity. I think if Celtic had played Middlesbrough on Saturday and the likes of Kasper Hoog and Asim Hassan and Kelechi Iheanacho and Marcelo Cerracci and Julian Araujo and all of those guys were in, maybe, you know, alongside Camilo Duran, I think Celtic supporters would have turned out in greater number to see the team, Andrew.
Because it does seem to just be one thing after another for Celtic supporters at the moment. There have been, you know, there's been a bit of grumbling about the fact that just a lot of things have been taking quite a while. The Martin O'Neill deal took a while to get over the line. Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham returning took a while to get over the line. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain coming back took a while to get over the line. But then it's Kelechi Iheanacho not returning. Yeah. That compounded by the fact that all of a sudden Marcelo Cerracci says he wanted to come back and he's not back.
I think we said in the show last week, you know, Iheanacho, Saracchi, they should be the easy deals, Andrew, because, you know, by all accounts, Iheanacho was keen to come back. And Martin O'Neill's on the record saying he wants him to come back. Saracchi, keen to come back. Martin O'Neill was keen to have him back. You know, these are the easy deals. The deals that are tough are the likes of Kasper Hoog from Bodo Glimt, who, you know, they might ask £7 or 8 million for him. He might ask for, you know, wages commensurate with a £7 or 8 million player. You might have other teams jumping in to get him, as with him with Kasper Dahlberg, a window or two back. They're the harder deals to be done, but the ones that they've missed out on, the likes of Iheanacho and Saracchi, should have been done 6 weeks ago.
One of the more frustrating things, I think, to add on to it for Celtic fans is then the one signing that they have brought in has made an impact in both of the friendlies that he's appeared in. He's scored in both games. Yeah. And that's quite an obvious thing for Celtic fans to be able to point to and say, well, look, if you sign players and you manage to get it over the line, they will make a difference to the team.
Listen, of course they make a difference. And again, as we said a week ago, Celtic still have a strong squad. If everyone's fit and everyone's there, it's a squad that won the double at the tail end of last season. You know, the 1-11 looks strong, but is that 1-11 going to be there at the start, you know, post-transfer window? Maeda, Hatate, Engels, even Callum McGregor, how many of them are still going to be at the club? Because if you start losing them and you're not bolstering a squad on top of them, that's when the problems come in, Andrew.
Let's hear from you. 01419511025. Michael is a Celtic fan in Ardrossan. How are you feeling about it all, Michael?
As I said to your producer, not very happy, Andrew. 60 days since the season's finished, one signing in the door. Michael Nicholson and the rest of the board need to go. I've said it for day one. We're going backwards, not forwards. We're going backwards. We won the league, we won the double, but Martin O'Neill, we're standing still.
Is that the big thing, Michael, that a lot of people, you know, fans of other clubs would look at Celtic's trophy haul over the last few years and say, what's the big deal? You know, you're winning everything, you're the dominant force in Scottish football, why are you complaining so much? But is it more about the fact, you know, building from those positions, and you feel that that's not really been done over the past few transfer windows?
Yep, that's the case, Andrew. We've not built for the last few windows. We've made a lot of signings, and obviously we've got good ones and bad ones, but the ones that annoyed me, Saracchi and Iheanacho, we didn't sign the both of them because, for what reason, they were both at the club last season and we never signed them. Iheanacho's went to Turkey and Saracchi's came out and said they'd love to come back to the club.
The Kelechi and Iheanacho one, we'll take them both separately, Roger. The Kelechi and Iheanacho one, to start things off, the fact that Celtic had a clause in his initial contract to be able to trigger that and extend it by a year and keep him at Celtic, for them to let that expire and then lose him to another club will leave a lot of Celtic fans scratching their head.
Well, it will. And, you know, there seemed to be in some media outlets were, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, he was asking for this and Celtic weren't willing to pay that. But that's the market value, Andrew. You know, if you go into a coffee shop and it's £4 for a coffee, then it's up to you whether you pay it or not. And if you don't pay it, then you can't blame anybody else because other people are paying it and that's what it costs. So if you choose not to pay it, then you're missing out because nobody's going to change anything else. It's just your choice. You know, Michael Nicholson, I think, said to a forum of Irish Celtic supporters last week, he's having difficulty getting deals done. You know, it's difficult with agents' fees and, you know, your competitions from the English Championship, etc. It's not the case that Celtic can't do the deals. It's a case that Celtic choose not to do the deals. There's an awful lot of money sitting in the bank at Celtic. So they could have paid Kelechi Iheanacho whatever he asked for. They could have paid Marcelo Saracchi whatever he asked for and paid the what I thought was a reasonably small transfer fee to get the lad. The issue with Celtic is they're choosing not to do the deals.
You are a busy man, Roger. I'm seeing there's an exclusive that's gone out on the Scottish Sun's website in the last few minutes about Daizen Maeda and Ipswich Town. Are you feeling that that is a deal that could get done? There's interest there?
Yeah, I think they're keen to get them. Martin O'Neill sort of said here running the day before the Scottish Cup final in May, Andrew, when he said it would be Daizen's last game for the club. Daizen, after the World Cup, was doing a round of interviews back home in Japan. He was promoting his autobiography and he said, you know, I think it was about a week ago, that he wants to go to the English Premier League. This is his time to go to the English Premier League. He's 28 years of age. Listen, Celtic will get a fee for him. And then it's up to Celtic what they do with the fee. They are keen on the two lads we've mentioned, Haseem Hassan from Real Oviedo, a winger, played for Egypt at the World Cup. They're keen on Kasper Hoog again, Bodo Glimt, the Danish striker, the David Friel story yesterday, who they almost got in January, and had Bodo Glimt not advanced in Europe, they may well have got him in January. So I think Dijon will go Ipswich, I'm told, in pole position to get him at the minute. There may well be, in fact, I think there is other interest in him. But it's now a case. And listen, Michael and the other Celtic fans will know that Dyson's going to go. Everybody knows that Dyson's going to go. Martin O'Neill told you 2 months ago that Dyson's going to go. It's now a case of Celtic, the priority for Celtic. We're 2 weeks tonight from Celtic's first Premiership game against Dundee at Parkhead. Celtic need to get guys in the door, Andrew.
Is that what maybe adds to it, Michael? Is there's that backdrop of quite a few players that there are question marks over their future, whether they're still going to be there, and that Celtic haven't really been proactive. If people are expecting Dyson Maeda to go, if there's a chance that someone like Arne Engels may leave, there's some other players being talked about. Do you feel that Celtic should be getting the business done now so that they're ready for the start of the Premiership season, for the Champions League qualifiers, so that if these players do leave between now and then, that Celtic will be ready?
Yes, that's correct, Andrew, because I don't want to have the same situation as last season, getting beat off a team that I've never heard of in my life, Kaya Amate, never heard of in my life. So no disrespect to the team that beat us last season, never heard of them before, but I don't want to be the same route as last season, getting into the Champions League with one signing in the building. I want at least 3 or 4 more bodies in the door. The boy that Roger was saying there, Hassan, looks really decent. I watched him in the World Cup, he looks good, the boy, really good.
Would you not have thought, Michael, though, after what happened with Kairat Almaty, and Celtic were unlucky last season against Kairat, you know, when it gets down to that, they should have got through and they didn't. Would you not have thought that would be a warning to get the business done early, especially when Celtic at the end of the season, they were reliant, well, they weren't reliant because Martin didn't pick them, but there was an awful lot of loan players at the club who were then heading away. You know, I felt Celtic needed to replace all of those loan players just to get the squad up to the number that you're going to need. I mean, no disrespect to the guys who played against Middlesbrough, but the guys who played against Middlesbrough, that can't be a Celtic team going into the new season. I think the centre-half pairing at the end of the game was Kyle Ure and Adam Montgomery. At the end of the Middlesbrough game,
I cannot be a centre-half, Sir Roger, no offence, but the two of them are good enough for Celtic, the two of them.
Certainly not at centre-half, the two, you know, and they've had opportunities. I just can't believe that we're sitting here 2 weeks before the first Premiership game of the season and Celtic have signed one player and they've let, you know, off the back of so many players going at the end of the season.
Well, thank you to Michael. What about Jamie, who's a Celtic fan in Alloa? Are you tending to agree with what Michael was saying?
Aye, 100%, lads. It's actually quite worrying, the fact that we've not been able to get any actual Sarachi or even Harojo. You know, three players that made a massive impact when I was running the league. And not only that, when you look at Sarachi and Harojo, two players that give you've got two clear options. You know, with Sarachi, you've got Tierney, and Arroyo, you've got Johnson. So you've got four really good options there, and we've let two go. It beggars belief. And it's astonishing. And you know what's quite sad as well? You could end up having all the fans going against each other, exactly like it did last season before the Green Brigade were allowed back into the stadium. It's mad. It's absolute madness with our clubs. They're actually destroying the club from the inside out. It's mad.
Yeah, there was a real unity between the club and the team and the supporters towards the end of last season, and it's something that Martin O'Neill had asked for. He said that Celtic are at their best when everyone is pulling in the same direction, and we saw the power of that. Celtic got over the line, managed to win the Premiership, managed to win the Scottish Cup. That unity, you would have thought, surely helped somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
But that was a sort of manufactured thing where everyone said, or all the supporters said, right, put feelings to the side for now, for the greater good of the club, short term. You always felt that it could flick back very, very quickly, and I don't think that the way that this transfer window is played out is helping that at all.
So, Martin put out a sort of call for unity at the end of last season, and the club allowed the Green Brigade back in, and there was a sort of fractured peace, you know, a peace deal was kind of put together, if you like, at the end of the season. But for that to stay in place, you know, there's always goodwill from the fans, because the fans will go and they'll buy the season tickets and they'll buy all the merchandise and they'll do whatever they do. But there also needs to be something, some signs from the club that they're willing to meet the fans halfway, and to use the money that the fans give them, you know, to buy some players, to bring some players in. And sometimes, you know, I don't think, you know, you need to get all your business done by the second week in June. It's unrealistic to think of that, particularly in a World Cup summer. But you would think someone at Celtic would at some stage read the room and just say, listen, these last couple of windows haven't been very good. We've lost an awful lot of players. Dyson's going to go. Arnie Ingles might go. Rio Hatate might go. We're going to need to, you know, get a lot of new footballers into the football club. Let's get some of them done early. And it shows the fans that, you know, we're listening to them. And yet nothing seems to happen, Andrew.
There's a world, Jamie, where Celtic go out and they manage to make three or four signings before the Champions League qualifier and the squad looks a lot stronger. Do you have much belief that that is going to happen, just given what you've seen so far?
In all honestly, no. And that's the worrying part. You could ask 1,000 Celtic supporters and they're probably going to all give you the same answer at this particular moment. Our club are just so slow in doing anything now. It's mad. I mean, would I be correct in actually saying as well, at this moment in time, we do not have a recruitment team in place as well?
There will certainly be a recruitment team.
Headed by a guy called Mark Cooper. But see, if you'd phoned in previous years, Jamie, and we're sitting here, July the 20th?
20th, yeah.
I would probably have said to you, Jamie, listen, we've got 5 weeks before the end of the transfer window, you know, show a bit of patience, because I'm quite sure, you know, everything will get done and it'll be fine. You actually don't have great belief that it will get done, because when I look back at what the window was like in January and what the window was like last summer, and in both occasions, Celtic were scratching about after the window closed, looking for free agents because they couldn't get deals done during the window. So I've got no more confidence or belief than you do that there will be the four season signings that Andrew's talking about coming in before the Champions League deadline.
Well, thank you to Jamie. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Maybe you want to continue that conversation. Maybe you're a Rangers fan that wants to look ahead to the Europa League qualifiers now that you know your opponents. Motherwell fans, what about Elijah? Just looks as if he's on his way out, which I'm sure is a negative, but the positive, set to get a club record fee. How does that sound? 0141 951 1025 on the phones, but we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is ring 0141 951 1025 during the next break and you could be up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There's been a lot of talk about Celtic in the first part of the show. Some supporters angry at the way that this transfer window is gone. There was that boycott at the game against Middlesbrough, the friendly on Saturday. Calls for meaningful change from some supporters groups. So how are you feeling about that? Do you agree or do you disagree? Rangers fans, what about Jagiellonia, the Polish side who are going to be your Europa League opponents? How do you feel heading into those games? And what about Elijah Just? He is on his way from Motherwell to Swansea, it looks like, for a club record fee. So is that good business for you Motherwell fans? You can let us know, 0141 951 1025 on the phones, but we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You lost last Monday.
It's been a very depressing summer. It really has.
Couple of defeats, I think you've had. Three wins from five in total.
So it's not been very good. And we also had the debacle at the Pavilion, as it's known, and then the live show when I was controversially beaten in a tie break. So I'm actually ashamed of my performance. I don't know how I'm going to explain this to Andy Halliday when we're back together next week for the 2 hour shows.
Yeah, this was going to say this is the final week of 1 hour shows. Oh, so this is your final chance to get a win on the board.
Don't take this the wrong way, Andrew, but I can't wait till they're done.
Right, it's going to be Henry in Paisley that's taking on Roger Hanna. Henry, how do you fancy your chances?
I don't know, I've played for a couple of years.
The
last time I played was
2019
against
Gordon Dare. Oof, that's quite a while.
Wow.
How did you get on?
Couple of veterans.
I get beat.
Have you been practicing since?
Well, I've tried my best, you know, but it's not easy.
We'll see. Right, I'll put something else in the ear of Roger Hanna so he cannot tear us. And for you, Henry, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that good?
Right, okay.
Let's do it. Right. Rangers play which French team in a friendly on Wednesday?
On St. Erwin.
Name any Spaniard to have played for Celtic.
Any Spanish players to play for Celtic? Pass.
Hearts last played in Champions League qualifying in what decade?
Pass.
The Scottish top flight agreed a TV deal with which broadcaster in 2004?
Pass.
Who scored more World Cup goals, Elijah Just or Brian Laudrup?
Brian Laudrup.
Okay, we will bring Roger back in. Can you hear us, Roger?
I'm just laughing there. It was a Greatest Hits Radio Sting, an Englishman in New York. Thankfully, there are no Englishmen in New York last night.
Yeah, that's a good point. You enjoy the final?
No.
No, it was pretty terrible, wasn't it?
I had Argentina in the office sweepstake at the start.
Oh, so that's even more so.
That's a sore one.
Right, let's get back to this. See if you can find some joy on Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds on the clock for Roger Hanna. Let's go. Rangers play which French team in a friendly on Wednesday?
St. Etienne.
Name any Spaniard to have played for Celtic.
Pass.
Hearts last played in Champions League qualifying in which decade?
The noughties.
The Scottish top flight agreed a TV deal with which broadcaster in 2004?
Setanta.
Who scored more World Cup goals, Elijah Just or Brian Laudrup?
Just.
Which South Korean pop band performed at the World Cup final halftime show?
BTS.
Which former Rangers player won the 1994 World Cup Golden Boot?
Salenko.
How do you think it went, Henry?
Well, I think I lost, you know, but I don't care, you know. I just enjoy growing.
Quite right, Henry.
I enjoy going beat the pun and over for a few years, you know. But
that's it. It's all about the fun of it.
It's all about the competing.
And you know, if
I found this summer.
And you know, if someone says that it's all about the taking part, they've maybe not done so well. But we'll see, Henry. We'll go through them.
There's only one question I'm interested in getting right, Andrew.
We'll go through them. Rangers play which French team in a friendly on Wednesday? Roger, you said Saint Etienne. Henry kind of said Saint Etienne. We're going to give him it. You know what? 1-1 to kick things off.
No, 1-0.
Oh, sorry, 1-0, of course. Henry takes the lead because Roger starts on -1. So Henry is one up. Name any Spaniard to have played for Celtic. Actually, quite a tough question.
I still can't think.
No. There are four on this piece of paper. You have Marc Crosas.
Of course.
Javi Sanchez-Broto.
Yeah.
David Fernandez. Alex Valle. Remember him from a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah.
So it remains
good, it's a good question,
1-0
up to Henry
because neither of you got it. Hearts last played in Champions League qualifying in which decade? You went for the noughties, Roger. It is indeed the noughties in the 2006-2007 season. So you draw level. The Scottish top flight agreed a TV deal with which broadcaster in 2004? Henry passed. You went for Setanta Sports, which is correct. Roger goes one up. Who scored more?
I think you still owe me money.
Who scored more World Cup goals, Elijah Just or Brian Laudrup? Brian Laudrup has scored 2. Elijah Just got 3 in 3 games this year. So Roger gets it. Henry didn't.
You know, Brian Laudrup scored his last World Cup goal the day I get married. There you are. A useless statistic for you. 3rd of July 1998 against Brazil.
It's useless, but I don't mind it.
There you go.
Don't mind it. It is 2 up to Roger Hanna. And that was the end of the road for Henry. Had a few passes and then ran out of time. Which South Korean pop band performed at the World Cup final halftime show? You know what? See if there was any type of question that I didn't think Roger would have in his locker. I didn't think it was about K-pop bands. You said BTS. The answer is BTS. Yeah. Roger Hanna gets it. And that's what he's most pleased about. It's not the winning.
That's
it's
a highlight of my entire summer.
Genuinely, quite impressed by that. Didn't think you'd get that at all. And you got one more in. Which former Rangers player won the 1994 World Cup Golden Boot? It was Oleg Salenko. So Roger Hanna wins by four. Unlucky, Henry.
Cheers, Henry.
Oleg Salenko, man. He was a good player for Rangers.
There we go. We'll see if Henry wants to phone in another 7 years' time.
Well, listen, keep phoning in, Henry.
Make sure it's not another 7 years. Do some study and see if you can phone in again.
That's
what to do.
Right. Thank you to Henry. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Jamie, who's a Celtic fan. Paisley. Jamie, how are you?
All right, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Something that Roger says earlier on about Celtic have got the money, so why are they not paying it? Why let a player hold a club to ransom? You're just going to... All the other players that aren't getting that money are going to revolt.
Who are you speaking about specifically, Jamie?
Any actual.
Well, Celtic had a clause in the contract last year that they could have triggered that, and then the deal would have gone ahead. So
I know, but then he's asking for more money, and Rodgers' answer was,
if they triggered the clause, it wouldn't have done. The clause went, listen, it's a matter of great indifference to me whether or not Kelechi Iheanacho signs or doesn't sign. The issue would have is Martin O'Neill wanted him to sign. Martin O'Neill wanted to keep him at the football club. I think he thought he had kept him at the football club, and they didn't keep him. And Martin wanted Sarachi, and they didn't get Sarachi either. So it's like anything else in life. You either pay the money and get the thing, or you don't pay the money and you don't get the thing. And there's only so often you can decline to pay the money and not get the thing before trouble starts to set in, you know?
Jamie?
And he ended up like Kent at Rangers. I mean, Kent had a brilliant loan period for Rangers. Rangers paid the $7 million, and then after that, it was mince.
And he walked away for nothing.
Aye, so they made nothing out of him. I mean, the exact same thing could have happened with Iheanacho.
But it might have been the opposite, Jamie. He might have come in, had a really good pre-season, scored 25 goals next season, so it's kind of tough to... You know, tough to present it that way, but the fact that Martin O'Neill wanted him, the fact that Martin O'Neill said he wanted Marcelo Sarachi, the fact that those deals haven't gone through, does that concern you at all? Or are you quite happy for them to not come in and you think the other options will come in?
I think other options will come in, all right. I would have loved to have had him if he played like that every week.
What gives you the belief that those players will come in? Because we've had quite a few Celtic fans that maybe don't share that belief, just given that the last two transfer windows, maybe more than that, haven't gone the way that many would have wanted. What gives you the belief that Celtic will get the right players in, get the business done in the right time, and the squad will be looking really strong?
Well, Celtic more or less, near enough every season, wait till the last minute before they bring people in. So I'm hanging on to that fact, but I know the last couple of windows has been crap.
Does it need to get done before the Champions League qualifier? Not all business, of course, but with what happened, you know, against Qairat Almaty, and there was an accusation that the squad, you know, wasn't in the place that it should have been going into the qualifiers, that Brendan Rodgers, he said himself that, you know, he was given a Honda Civic of a squad. Do you feel that maybe more business does need to get done just a bit quicker this year?
Definitely. We need players in, because the team that won the double last season, we're not going to do that this season with the same team.
He's confident, Jamie. He's confident. We talk in this show about the guys on the pitch. Are you as confident about the guys off the pitch at Celtic getting deals done as in previous years? Because if you think back, you know, whatever it was, 5 or 6 years ago, when Ange was coming in, Ange Postecoglou came in, wanted a lot of deals done, and Celtic had the sort of structure behind the scenes that got those deals done. You know, in came Kyogo, in came Jota, in came Carter Vickers. The next window, it was Hitati and Maeda coming in. All this was done dead early. If you remember, Alistair Johnson, the deal was done in November for him coming in January, and they were really proactive and they got the work done. You know, when Brendan was there, second time round, it was the same. There was a structure behind the scenes, and he was getting, you know, the work done. Do you think the people are there now behind the scenes to get that kind of those deals done as early as Celtic fans would like them done?
Well, obviously not. If we're not getting the deals done early enough, obviously they're not there. I mean, Nicholson, the guy should be out the door.
Do you think there is going to be that meaningful change, Jamie? The fact that not many supporters turned up to the friendly match against Middlesbrough, there's maybe quite a few voting with their feet. Do you think that change will happen, or do you think it seems quite unlikely?
Quite unlikely, because they've already had their season tickets money, so they're not bothered if they don't turn up. They've still got the money. There's still people out there going to buy the shirts and all that. I mean, I'm going to the game on Saturday, and I know for a fact my daughter's going to buy a shirt. She might even buy two, because my brother as well. So we're still spending the money, and they're taking us for mugs.
Does it seem unlikely to you, Roger, that there will be whatever that meaningful change is that supporters groups are looking for, so, whether it is Dermot Desmond, whether it is Michael Nicholson, Chris Mackay, anyone else?
It's a difficult one, because how do you force meaningful change when the people you're trying to force, you know, don't want to change? You could see the Celtic hierarchy saying, well, hold on a wee minute, we've done this for 15 years and we've won 14 out of 15 titles, and we got lots of criticism last year, but I think you'll still find we won a domestic double last year, so don't criticise us. And as Jamie says, I'm not going to criticise Jamie for going to watch his team on Saturday or for going into the shop and buying his team's merchandise. That's what football supporters do up and down the country. So that's personal choice from Jamie. Now, Celtic's personal choice was to not spend the money on these footballers that we've spoken about. Jamie's personal choice is to go and spend the money buying tickets and you know, buying the shirts and what have you. So it's a very difficult one. I'm not going to say to Jamie, no, nobody should spend money, you know, on your football club. That's daft. But the more money that gets put into Celtic, the more the people running Celtic will say what we are doing is correct.
Thank you to Jamie. 0141 951 1025. You can let us know what is on your mind while I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
On Friday, we paid out a massive amount of cash to Shane on Make Me a Winner. He's been planning a holiday whilst he thinks about what to do with the rest of it. And now we go again. How do you fancy a bank balance upgrade of £400,000 this summer? Enter now by texting yes to 61025. Do that and you'll get two entries for the price of one. Text of £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find the rules, the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition there. It's over 18s only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone and £400,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win on Friday, text yes to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So any thoughts that you want to get in before 7 o'clock, get them in on 0141 951 1025. We'll have a quick look at Rangers' Europa League draw and the fact that Elijah Just looks to be leaving Motherwell for a club record fee shortly. But let's speak to Stevie, who's a Celtic fan in Strathblane. Stevie, what are you thinking tonight?
I don't know where this last caller gets his optimism fit, honestly. We, at the moment, over the weekend, the Celtic Supporters Association have issued quite a lengthy statement, most of which the majority of Celtic fans agree with, as witnessed by the crowd at the friendly game there. We have a 74-year-old manager, who done brilliantly, by the way, last year, because we made a mess of the last appointment. The guy that left, Paul Tisdale, hasn't been replaced. So we've no head of recruitment. We've got an interim chairman. We are run. We have been run by Lobel Nicholson. We have been run by accountants and lawyers. Accountants count money. That's what they do. That's their job, right? These people do not know how to run a football club. They know how to run a business. They don't know how to run a football club, right? We are no longer a business that is in charge of a football club. We're a football club that's almost auxiliary to the business, right? What will happen is, we will sell Maeda or Engels. Then they'll go buy people, right? Probably, you know, they won't do it before, right? And what happened then is that the clubs who are selling know you need a striker, they know you need a defender, a winger, a midfielder, whatever, and the price gets jacked up a la Adam Ida, right? And you don't get your deals done early. If you know your striker's gone, you get a striker in, then he goes. But that's not the Celtic way. And the Celtic fans have had enough, because we now see ourselves as just cash cows to be milked. So we have all the stuff that I've talked about there, and every day I get an email saying, buy the new third kit, buy this kit, buy tickets for a friendly, buy Celtic TV. I actually got caught out 2 weeks ago when I seen a headline that said new Celtic player. And I thought, wow, already? Turns out it was another name for Celtic TV.
Stevie, I would agree with almost everything you said. Other than the criticism of Peter Lawwell, who's probably been Celtic's best chief executive of all time. Because, as I was saying to Jamie, the previous caller, you know, when Ange was there, deals get done. When Brendan was there, deals get done. When Gordon Strachan was there, deals get done. When Neil Lennon was there, deals get done. And it was Peter Lawwell that did them. And I think he, you know, he was a very good businessman, as you say, but he could also read the room a wee bit. And he also knew if a deal needed to be done, a deal would be done. You know, I think it's noticeable in the last two windows when he's not been involved at all at the club, how it's sort of, you know, the struggles that have been there. Because as you say, no head of football operations, no permanent chairman. You know, when Martin was appointed, how long did we go on with that charade about getting Sean Maloney and Martin Fotheringham back? Again, I don't think that, you know, it's a bad look for the club. Again, I don't think that would have been allowed to happen under Peter. So I agree. Everything else you say, I completely agree with. This thing about, you know, Maeda and Ingles, I think they both might be sold, by the way. You're saying one or the other will be sold. I think they both might be sold. And you're quite right. You know, Martin, fair play to him, on the eve of the Scottish Cup final in May, he said, this will be Dyson's last game. You knew he was leaving. I knew he was leaving. The club knew he was leaving. Why didn't he not sign a replacement a week or two after that? You know, he's going to go, whatever happens. And
I mean, Camilo Duran could be that replacement, but the problem is he's the only one in the door,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. So if that's the case, who replaces? Now, these guys didn't do very well, but they need replaced. Who replaces Chivanchira? Who replaces Adamu? Who replaces Iheanacho? Who replaces Sarachi? Who replaces Araujo? And what happens when, you know, Ingles does go or Hitati does go? You know, it's an awful lot of work to do. Sitting here on the 20th of July, Stevie's right, between now and, is it 3rd of September, the window closes this year, mm-hmm. You're only giving yourself 6 weeks, and you might need to do 12 deals in 6 weeks.
Stevie, does it concern you about what could happen this season, you know, in terms of a you know, league title fight, in terms of qualifying for the Champions League, or do you still have the belief that from what we've seen from Celtic in past years, where maybe the transfer windows haven't gone to plan, that Celtic have still managed to go out and win trophies?
I was on here a few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, and I said that, you know, I knew it was after the day after Dermot Desmond had said that Martin O'Neill will be backed, blah, 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 blah. And my quote to you was, I've heard it all before, as you say to your partner, don't tell me you love me, show me the proof. Words are easy, right? So no, I have no belief, I have no trust, and neither does most of the Celtic fans, as witnessed by A, the attendance at the game, and B, the lengthy statement that the Celtic Supporters Association issued. Going in past evidence, right, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be last day and blah, blah, blah. Getting in the actual was the easiest deal in the world. The guy was already in the building. And all you had today was trigger the extension. And the minute they didn't do that, and he became a free agent, I knew there was going to be a bidding war, right? I don't know all the ins and outs, but I think he wanted a 3-year deal and Celtic were only going to give him a 2-year deal. As far as I'm concerned, any actual has already paid free sale, scoring the penalty and the goals and blah, 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 and the most unlikely title in recent history. If it wasn't for Sarachi, Maeda wouldn't have scored that goal against Hearts. Sarachi came on and changed the game. Again, he is worth, what, $1.5 million? I mean, what do you get for $1.5 million? Our problem seems to be that we think we can buy players at $2 million and they're going to turn out to be the next Henrik Larsson. Well, for every Henrik Larsson and Virgil van Dijk, you've got an Ajeti, a Barkas, and about 10 others. Right? So why not just buy quality? Because you've got the money, you've got the $70 million. So go and get players. You know there's going to be money coming in. You know there's money coming in. And I do think both will get sold. And I'm no, I wouldn't be surprised if Johnson went. I wouldn't be surprised if McGregor went with Brendan. Brendan told us, and I know there's a lot of Celtic fans hate Brendan Rodgers, right? A rat and blah, blah, blah. Brendan Rodgers told us 2 years ago, we need quality. He was sitting in Saudi Arabia with a new lad's whiskey and a cigar and saying, I told you this. I told you this 2 years ago.
The thing is, you mentioned Ingles here, Stevie. Ingles, Celtic pushed the boat out to get Ingles. £11 million is it's a huge sum of money for Celtic, right? But they're about to sell him for more than twice that. So you would think that, you know, if you could buy a guy at 11 million, it's like, it's almost less of a gamble than the guys you're talking about at 2 million, because if you're spending 11 million, you know he's going to be at a certain level. And, you know, there's a fair chance that you're going to, you know, make that money. Jota came in for a lot of money first time round. I think he was 6 or 7 million, and you sell for 25. So, you know, you would think previous experience would encourage the club to go and speculate a wee bit more.
Thank you to Stevie. That is all we've got time for on the phones. A couple of things I wanted to tick off before we finish up. There were a few European draws today. Yeah. A lot of them were sort of looking ahead to, you know, if, you know, Hearts get through to the next round of the Champions League, or whether they drop into the Europa League. For Rangers, they were finding out their actual opponents for the Europa League third qualifying round. They'll play Jagiellonia of Poland. Not going to pretend that we are Polish football experts. We'll need to speak to Killian Sheridan about that at some point. But Rangers seem to avoid maybe some of the higher profile teams in that side of the draw.
Listen, I think I'm happy enough with the draw. They were harder, they were easier teams, but they were harder teams as well. And Rangers don't need to be at the best to go through. Hearts, Sturm Graz tomorrow night. It's incredible. We think they're a Champions League qualifier tomorrow night already. Wouter Franken's first competitive game as Hearts manager. If they win, they'll probably get Fenerbahce. If they lose and drop into Europa League, they'll probably get Benfica. So there's going to be glamour one way or the other for Hearts as well.
Looking at Motherwell, we mentioned it at the top of the show, Elijah just looks to be on his way for a club record fee. Yeah. It's an incredible bit of business, isn't it?
Well, listen, I don't know what on earth they're going to do for an encore next summer, but I mean, last summer it was 4.75 for Lennon Miller. This summer it's £5 million for Elijah Just. It's absolutely phenomenal. They've got a tricky game against this Faroese team simply because they're running low on players. You know, Just has gone, Watt has gone, Ward has gone, and they've so many injuries, including Stephen O'Donnell, Callum Henry, Paul McGinn, Stamatopoulos as well, Longello, Maswanisi. So they're short on numbers, and this makes that tie, brings a bit of jeopardy into it, Andrew.
And Alfred Johansson, I'm sure, will be looking at the board saying, well, if we've sold players for X amount of money, I'd quite like to spend.
Yeah, they will get players in. They're trying hard to get players in, you know.
Well, thank you for listening in. Thank you for getting involved on the phones and social media. Thank you to Roger Hannah.
And thank you, Andrew. Your penultimate one-hour show of the summer, I believe. You finish up tomorrow night.
It is indeed. Final one of the summer.
It has been a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. It's been quite a summer, hasn't it, with the World Cup and everything that's been going on in the past few weeks. So I'll be back again tomorrow night between 6 and 7. We are doing one-hour shows all the way through till Friday, as Roger says, and then back to the full two-hour format, building up to the first Premiership weekend of the season. It is already upon us, so make sure to join us. We will be bringing you all the news as it breaks across the next couple of weeks and beyond. And I'll be back, as I said, tomorrow night between 6 and 7 with John Spencer, and it is going to be Amber. That's up next for you.